bitterness, a little bit of light toasted white bread, but I'm not getting the
bitterness comes in like right at the end.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a little there, sharp, but
you kind of want it like all the way through a little bit more, I think.
I think you should just call it a straight up Pilsner and just, you know, I think when they said unfiltered, it triggered us.
Yeah. Because we get excited about an unfiltered.
It's going to have a certain texture and body to it, and this doesn't. If I just said this is a solid Pilsner, we'd all go,
this is a solid Pilsner.
It's good Pilsner.
It's crazy that it's unfiltered. Boy, that yeast sure dropped out of that beer because it is almost crystal clear.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I of like the though, unfiltered cask. Urkel that I had a few years ago.
I mean, Pilsner Kel unfiltered. Nothing better.
Mm. No, you're not. And I think because we've all had that at the table, that's the reference standard. So, you know, the stakes are high when you talk about it unfiltered.
Yeah, and I think that's where I'm at. This is a bit of a swing and a miss. And I personally think if you just called it like it is and called it a solid Pilsner, I think you'd been a lot better off. And I think that's what kind of triggered me to go, you didn't quite hit the mark that you're describing it as.
So, right. I think it's more of a naming or description miss than a brewery.
The beer
miss.
Is bad.
Yeah. No. And I mean, let's qualify this as a Pilsner. It's a solid Pilsner.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think being a Pilsner, especially that it really does capture kind of a commonplace market. Don't mean that in any condescending way.
Mm-hmm.
In a very popular way. This is something that a lot of people would like.
Oh, and sure.
The way I judge any good German lager is, would I drink two or three of these? And there were, that's absolutely yes.
Mm. Yeah. I'd have one and done.
Okay. Well, we are going to rate the Excited State Unfiltered German Pilsner from Abel Baker a 3.
Nice.
You want a quick fun fact here?
Yep.
Again?
Do it.
All right. Let's see. The first telephone in Las Vegas was installed in 1907 at the Hotel Nevada, and a plaque still commemorates it in the Golden Gate Hotel and Casino. The first call ever made was to an escort service.
Oh, no.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
And we'll be back in a second.
Destination, but baby, the whole nation riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. To the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love, our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Howdy, folks. Welcome back. We are doing a little romantic getaway to Vegas today, and we are talking about a little honeymoon trip that Reverend Mark and his wife Kat took to the fine city of
Sin.
I wasn't going to say that.
Well, you take your honeymoon in a city that never sleeps, you know?
That's right. Because honeymooners never sleep.
That's right. Okay.
Reverend Mark, tell us a little bit. You guys have any good food while you were there?
Oh, my. Yeah. That's all we did, aside from drink beer.
Crab legs.
So, yeah.
Shellfish.
Yeah. We had 6,000 pounds of shellfish.
As I mentioned,
the
first half of the day was our brewery tour. And then we went back to the hotel room, kind of relaxed, took a little nap. And
okay, then, we don't need all those details.
Yeah, too much information. Then we, for our Valentine's dinner, we went to Thomas Keller's Bouchon. And, you know, he's the French, French Laundry guy.
Oh, wow.
And so we had a three-course Valentine's meal with wine pairings. And it was just, you know, because we weren't gambling, that's where all our money went. That one meal kind of broke the house. Not really, but it was it was worth it. It was really, really worth it. So that was sort of the top of it. But we also, to the more towards the end of the strip, in towards the Arts District, we went to Pizza Rock. And Tony Giamani, who is like a 12-time pizza champ,
and has, mafioso.
Yeah, has ovens all over the country, and this is where he's got like about five or six different ovens just in this one restaurant.
Nice.
So they have everything from, of course, your Napolitano to New York style to Chicago to Detroit, you name it. So we did some good sampling there. So yeah, a lot of good food. We the highlight though, entertainment wise, was that we took in Cirque Soleil's O, and I really would highly recommend that. That's in the Bellagio, and it's a water themed show. And I know that they had to recruit a lot of people from Olympic, like diving champions and all, but it was just mesmerizing.
Probably got some of those guys from Casa Bonita.
Yeah.
Get on,
yeah, could
on
be. Yeah.
No better cliff divers than those guys.
What do you do in retirement? You go to Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah. So, yeah, so we really came away feeling as though, you know, we had budgeted ourselves in a good way and
nice.
And brought back a case of beer or so.
Well, nice. We appreciate it.
Yeah, we do. All right. Well, talk about the next brewery, Nevada Brew Works.
Yeah, and this was the last of the three that we got to visit, and it turned out we kind of hung out with them and had lunch at that point. And so they were the smallest of the three that we visited, but they were kind of in line with the other two breweries. It's almost like a beer mall or a beer. It's like an outside thing, but you just go from one to the other to the other. So anyway, it was a place where I felt it was had a little bit more of a family vibe to it. You know, there, you know, where, which kind of, years ago when I started seeing families show up in brew pubs, I thought, well, okay, maybe this is European. But this was like they had created, you know, a lot of outdoor space and kind of a dog-friendly sort of environment.
Yeah,
and
cool.
So, yeah. So
kids are basically dogs.
Yeah.
You know, they don't poop by the tree.
I'm not so sure about that.
Well, I mean, I guess they would if you let them.
What tree?
Yeah,
no trees in Vegas.
He's probably saving on diapers.
I did notice that they did get the Best of Vegas award for a brewery, at least for several years recently. And they are, you know, they really kind of put more emphasis on themselves being a microbrewery and not sort of a distribution brewery, although they do a little of that.
Gotcha.
So
interesting.
Cool. All right.
Cool.
What's all the right. First beer? Is this Marzon?
Yep. First beer is going to be the Marzon, 6% ABV. Okay. What are you?
Yeah, they listed no IBUs when I dug into their info. So anyway, I'm sure that it's better than that.
Yeah, you know, this is a typical, you know, fall, you know, beer. You know, this is a beer style I always have a lot of difficulty in having, you know, a lot of these back to back. So I like that we're having this not quite in the fall season when we're tasting it right now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice that you kind of look at it for what it is and how it stands in the glass. But I don't know, this, I'm generally looking for that burnt caramel, you know, component, you know, yeah. In this style of beer. And that seems to be the one thing that's missing in this. The body, you know, of this seems to be kind of a bit on the weak side.
I'm really enjoying it. I think it's super clean, even though it's got a big malty finish. You get that kind of dark bread that you're looking for. Mm-hmm. I was just checking the style guidelines for this. I haven't looked at them in a while. but it calls the malt soft and elegant. And I think you can say that about this beer. It's very easy drinking.
Yeah, I'll buy that.
I think I like it for the reason, kind of like while you were saying you have difficulty with it, Mike, because sometimes they're too big or too sweet.
They are.
Or,
they get, you know, way too sweet. And if there's not, you know, some bitterness or, you know, to kind of balance it all
just
out.
Just enough.
It gets lost. And, you know, I'm very guilty of, you know, thinking of a reference beer. It's like somebody says Marzahn, I'm like Hawker Shore all day long. I'm like, is this better or good as, you know, Hawker Shore is going to be? So
I like the way it's, even though it's got a little sweetness in the middle from all that malt, it with the bitterness kind of settles it down, and then it almost dries out in the finish.
I think it, yeah.
I get a breadiness to it that's appropriate for this style.
Yeah, that's the one word I've heard everybody say. The breadiness and malty component seems to be the backbone, you know, of this.
Yeah.
And it's what's keeping it within style, barely.
I'll admit, I generally am not a fan of this style because most of them aren't made very well. But
yes,
this is an enjoyable beer, and I could put away a stein of it.
Mm. And I think I like this beer, especially because I was eating. Mm-hmm. It would be a great food beer.
Absolutely.
It's definitely a baked pretzel, mustard, you know.
Oh, sure.
Definitely a brat. It would go well. That kind of malty richness would kind of contrast the pork fattiness.
Very typical Oktoberfest beer.
Some good schnitzel or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What'd you think, Julie?
It was, I'm going to be the outlier here, and I'm going to say it was kind of meh for me. Yeah. I wasn't feeling it. I just felt like it was just more bread than anything else. And I wanted a little hop or something like to balance it out. And I just got a lot of bread, but that's just me. No, that's cool. Just me.
I think it's tough to drink this style without food.
Yeah, yeah,
it really is.
Yeah, well, to have it by itself, amazing. It's just,
you this food. Is an Oktoberfest beer.
Need something, salt is, you know, I think it's usually absolutely the key thing that's missing, you know, in drinking this.
So. Salty food would really set us off.
Like I say, I think it's the lunch that pushed me in the direction of, okay, this one I can take with me.
Oh, sure, sure. Yeah, I mean, and for what they have at that brewery, you know, pizza, burgers, and cheese curds, well, there's a lot of good food to go with.
I'd eat some cheese curds with this.
Oh, yeah, I would.
Yeah. Shoot.
Okay, we are going to rate the Marzahn from Nevada Brew Works a 3.
So, another fun fact for Las Vegas. Let's see. How much money do you think the gambling and actually contributes to the revenue of Las Vegas?
$1 billion.
A percentage, yeah.
To their total revenue?
Is it a third? Is it half? Is it 75%?
60%.
Any other guesses?
80?
Yeah, that's another guess.
20%.
Ooh, another guess.
90.
Ooh. Kendall was closest. It's actually about 47%.
Really?
Kendall's always
sorry,
closest.
It's 43% is a good the guesser. Total amount.
Huh.
And it is a staggering amount of money. It's 36.9 billion dollars.
Wait, and that's 40%.
Yes.
So what is bigger than that?
Probably hotel revenues,
okay,
other tourist attractions,
escorts,
food service.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, it's a convention mecca.
Yeah, conventions probably make up a lot.
That's where
of
the
that.
22,000 conventions in Vegas every year.
Wow.
Good grief, man.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And they have like Formula One there now, you know, things like that.
Oh, so, well, yeah.
If you don't have a Formula One race, I mean, you're not a city.
You're a jerk. Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, so we're going to go across the bridge right here.
Okay, so let's talk about the last one, Reverend Mark.
Yeah, this is the Blood Orange Hefeweizen. It's a 5.4%. Again, they didn't list their IBUs.
See, it says B.O. Heffy on it, and I was going, this doesn't smell like B.O.
B.O.
That would be some weird marketing.
And I was a little wary of this one. Like I say, I don't necessarily feel as though, you know, you need to add citrus to a Heffy, you know, when they do that. But I felt as though it kept the blood orange. Oh, the blood orange itself kind of kept BO. It in balance. And like I say, with Kat, it was she just loved it because it was like a beer mimosa for her.
That's a good description.
That's a very good description of it. Yeah.
Mm, yeah,
I'm not a big Hefeweizen fan, and I'm not really a huge blood orange fan.
But you
somehow
can,
they kind of work together. Mm-hmm. You know?
Kind of two negatives make a positive.
There you go. Yeah, definitely smells like a Hefeweizen.
I'm getting a ton of just that orange, the blood orange off of the aroma, but it mm-hmm. works really good.
Yeah, and it's a
really
different kind of orange. Yeah.
It really complements the base beer. It's really nice. And it covers up what I probably don't like most about Hefes is that big banana note.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you're not getting that. Either it's masked or it wasn't there in the first place.
It's definitely been obliterated.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's really good.
I almost feel like they fermented it in a way where it didn't have it. Like, I don't know if it was the yeast they used or the temperature or whatever, but.
Yeah, a lot of it's temperature.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know about flavored Hefes. You know, I'm kind of on the fence. It's one of those things where you go down that adjunct alley and, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, why are you screwing up a good beer to begin with?
So are you a Hefeweizen guy?
Like, yeah, I like good Hefeweizen. And it's just when you start to do something, you know, beyond that I just, it's like, really, you know, can you just leave it alone? If I want to add an orange, I'll add orange to it, you know? So from that perspective, I feel like kind of that choice got ripped out of my hands, you know, that I'm going to get to choose, you know, to add that, you know, into the end of the beer itself. But at the same time, when I look at the balance of this, it's not overtly done. So it's not, the blood orange is not just completely obscuring everything.
No,
it's there. The base beer is still there. It's fairly in check. It's a little on the sweet side for me.
It reminds me of a Belgian wit a little bit, you know.
And wheat beers being also fairly dry, Hefeweizens have a little bit more of that, of course, banana and even clove aspect because of the yeast. But nonetheless, they're still fairly like a neutral slate or palate over against which any kind of flavor is going to come out,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I don't know what the ratio, but it doesn't strike me like they added a lot to just make it its appearance. So,
no, this is rather unique, and I think you all are hitting on it. Normally, you put fruit in a Hefe, it gets weird, but this one doesn't. It's enjoyable.
What do you think, Julie?
I'm pleasantly surprised by it, because when I first saw blood orange Hefe, I was thinking, oh, okay, this is, you know, going to be a little heavy in the scheme of things. But I like that they use blood orange and just not regular orange citrus. You know, I thought that was a nice little twist. And again, they fermented this well, like mm-hmm. to complement the blood orange, which, I mean, think about it. How many blood orange beers have we had? Like, or does one have?
We've had many.
Right. I mean, and they tend to go a little
mm-hmm.
sideways at times, mm-hmm. for lack of a better word. So this is very pleasant. And for those people that, and they are out there, the ones that absolutely adore the Hefes, they're not us, but they're there somewhere. I think they're really going to appreciate mm-hmm. something like this.
And this one also traveled well. The fact that it even translated out of a can.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, sure.
So.
Yeah. No, this is cool. But yeah, to reference Kat's beer mimosa, this would be probably a welcome beer at the honky tonks downtown for the bachelorette parties, right? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think this is well made for the audience they're probably serving.
All right. So we are going to rate the Blood Orange Hefeweizen from Nevada Brew Works a 3, 4? Where we go? 4.
We'll go 4.
4. Well, any last thoughts about Vegas?
I'm just surprised how good the beer is out of Vegas. I never would have thought that, but it's really good.
Well, I kind of came into this conversation with, you know, a little bit of caution because of just, you know, kind of like the layout of the kind of the brewery scene. You can tell that they're still, you know, kind of getting established. So when I said they were in their infancy, in some ways they are, in terms of just sort of the industrial aspect of it. But it looks like they're hitting on some good notes here.
Well, I think part of it might be, too, like, as you know, we live in a tourism-driven town, mm-hmm. and that's a tourism-driven town. It sounds like where Reverend Mark went was more like you follow the locals.
Absolutely.
You go where the locals drink versus, you know, even some places here that are down in the touristy sections, the beers are kind of more hit and miss.
Right.
But, like, if you go where the locals drink, you're going to find solid stuff.
Yes, you will.
Yeah. Yeah, true. All right. Well, that is going to wrap it up for us today. And this actually makes me excited to go out there and try some beers from Vegas, knowing that they have a decent beer scene and that it's not all just excessive.
I'm ready to go have some shellfish.
Yep. Yeah, and that too. Good old boy Kendall, thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, follow me and good old Kyle June as we travel around the state of Tennessee drinking at every brewery in 2023 at bm3.beer.
Cool. Good old boy Mike.
Hey, thanks for joining us on this episode of Sip Suds and Smokes. I'll ask you to keep on sipping.
And say hello to your little sidekick, Elvis, too.
Oh, thank you very much.
Reverend Mark, thanks so much for this episode.
Thank you. It's good to share the joy.
Thank you, Mark. Reverend Mark.
Good old boy, Dave.
Thanks, Kat. We know you were the real hero here.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes. Thank you, Kat. We miss you. You need to come by sometime. This is good old gal Juliana. Keep on chuggling and catch you next time.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone, play podcast Sip Suds and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @SipSudsAndSmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip Suds and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the good old boys, will see y'all next time.